Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
Bottom line, you lie with impunity, you reject checks and balances, and you ignore Congress and the courts. Your options are limited. Either you're going to resign, Trump's going to fire you, or you will be impeached. I've already called for your resignation. You may remember I hand-delivered my request to you back in May, and I urge you to reconsider resignation because I've taken the first step towards your impeachment.
Democratic lawmakers grill Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem at a heated congressional hearing. We'll speak to Democratic Congressmember Delia Ramirez, who's leading the impeachment effort. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is also facing an impeachment threat over his moves to overturn U.S. vaccine policy, from limiting hepatitis B vaccines for infants to considering putting a black box warning on COVID vaccines, a warning reserved for drugs that can cause death. We'll speak to a former top vaccine expert at the CDC. Then watched, tracked, and targeted. Life in Gaza under Israel's all-encompassing surveillance regime. We'll speak with award-winning Palestinian journalist Mohammed Mahawish.
For the past 16 months, I've been reporting on how advanced surveillance and AI-driven targeting systems have reshaped life and survival in Gaza. For the reporting, I spoke with families, paramedics, survivors, journalists who lived under tools that could assign threat scores in seconds and map their entire neighborhoods and lives from afar. And what I've been able to uncover is that what's tested in Gaza doesn't stay confined to it.
And as the Trump administration intensifies its immigration crackdown, wealthy visa applicants may find it easier to stay in the United States. They can now buy a $1 million Trump Gold card or, for $5 million, a Trump Platinum card. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Trump administration imposed new sanctions on Venezuela Thursday as President Trump repeated his threats to begin military strikes on land targets in Venezuela. The new sanctions target family members of President Nicolas Maduro, as well as six crude oil tankers and associated shipping companies. Meanwhile, Reuters reports the U.S. is preparing to intercept more ships transporting Venezuelan oil after it seized a massive Venezuelan oil tanker on Wednesday. Some Democratic lawmakers and at least one Republican have condemned the seizure, which Venezuela condemned as an act of piracy. Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen said the move shows the Trump administration's cover story that it's seeking to interdict drugs is a, quote, big lie. He added, quote, this is just one more piece of evidence that this is really about regime change by force, unquote. However, the Senate's top Democrat, Minority Leader Senator Chuck Schumer, refused to say he opposes regime change in Venezuela. Schumer spoke with CNN's Jake Tapper Thursday.
Do you disagree with President Trump's ultimate goal of regime change in Venezuela?
Look, the bottom line is President Trump throws out so many different things in so many different ways, you don't even know what the heck he's talking about. You know, obviously, if Maduro would just flee on his own, everyone would like that. But we don't know what the heck he's up to when he talks about that. So it's very, very, you cannot say, I endorse this, I endorse that.
California Democratic Congressmember Ro Khanna blasted Schumer's comments, writing, quote, yes, Democrats oppose regime change war in Venezuela. Instead of wasting trillions on endless wars, we must invest in jobs, health care and housing for Americans. Why is this hard? We need a new generation to lead our party with moral clarity and conviction, Congressmember Khanna wrote. In the Gaza Strip, at least 12 people were killed in the past 24 hours as torrential rains and floods descended on the besieged territory, collapsing shelters, makeshift tents, and what remained of homes and buildings damaged by Israel's relentless war. Among the victims are three children who died of hypothermia due to the winter storm. This comes as Israel's military continues to violate the U.S.-brokered ceasefire deal it agreed to October 10th. Israeli forces killed at least two Palestinians in Rafah on Wednesday. In the occupied West Bank, Israel's approved the establishment of nearly 800 new settler homes. The Israeli settlements are illegal under international law. Tens of millions of U.S. residents are set to see the cost of their health insurance plans skyrocket after the Senate rejected a bill that would have extended tax credits under the Affordable Care Act. On Thursday, four Republican senators sided with Democrats and independents who voted in favor of a three-year extension of the health care subsidies. But the legislation failed on a vote of 51 to 48 after falling short of the 60 needed to break a Republican filibuster. Without a deal by December 31st, some 22 million people will likely see their premiums double on average. This is Georgia Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock.
Republicans today have taken a system that's already struggling and broken it down even more. And the consequences for ordinary people, many of them in their own red districts, will be that they will have to delay response to their health care. They will have to find a way to pay more higher premiums, and for many people, they will literally pay with their lives.
South Carolina public health officials say hundreds of people are in isolation or quarantine amidst a rapidly spreading measles outbreak in a northwestern region of the state with lower rates of vaccination. So far, 111 measles cases have been recorded, all but six of which occurred in unvaccinated people. Arizona and Utah are also experiencing a significant measles outbreak. Nationally, there have been almost 2,000 measles cases recorded in the United States this year, causing at least three deaths. The U.S. declared measles eliminated in the year 2000, but the disease has returned after vaccination rates fell during the COVID pandemic. A Democratic lawmaker from Michigan filed articles of impeachment Thursday against Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Congresswoman Haley Stevens accuses Kennedy of abdication of duty by restricting access to vaccines, spreading absurd conspiracies, and putting lives in danger.
RFK Jr. has turned his back on science, on public health, and on the American people. Under his watch, families are less safe, healthcare costs are skyrocketing, and life-saving research, including right here in Michigan, is being gutted.
Democratic leaders, including House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, have declined to co-sponsor the articles of impeachment. Meanwhile, the FDA is reportedly considering putting a black box warning on COVID vaccines, a warning reserved for drugs that can cause death. We'll have more on this story after headlines. We'll speak with a former top vaccine expert at the CDC who resigned in June. Republican lawmakers in Indiana have rejected a push by President Trump to redraw the state's congressional map ahead of next year's midterm elections. On Thursday, 21 state senators with the Republican majority crossed the aisle to side with Democrats opposing the mid-decade redistricting effort, which was aimed at giving all nine of Indiana's congressional seats to Republicans. The upset vote came after some Republican lawmakers who opposed the plan described the violent threats they'd received from President Trump's supporters. Ahead of the vote, the advocacy branch of the Heritage Foundation issued a warning to Indiana lawmakers, quote, "If the Indiana Senate fails to pass the map, all federal funding will be stripped from the state, roads will not be paved, guards, bases will close, major projects will stop. These are the stakes, and every no vote will be to blame," they wrote. Kilmar Abrego Garcia has reunited with his family in Maryland after a federal judge ordered his immediate release from a Pennsylvania ICE jail Thursday. But Abrego Garcia has to check in with immigration officials today, just hours after U.S. District Judge Paula Zenas ruled against the Trump administration, writing, quote, since Abrego Garcia's return from wrongful detention in El Salvador. He's been re-detained, again without lawful authority, she wrote. Abrego Garcia's case has been at the center of Trump's brutal crackdown on immigration. To see our coverage of his case, go to our website, democracynow.org. A U.S. citizen from Minnesota's Somali-American community speaking out after ICE agents racially profiled and wrongfully arrested him earlier this week in Minneapolis. Mubashir, who asked only to be identified by his first name, said he was on his lunch break Tuesday when masked federal agents tackled and pushed him. The 20-year-old informed the agents he was a U.S. citizen and could show them his passport, but instead he said the agents put him in a headlock, took him into custody, detained him for hours without access to water and medical care. Mubashir described his violent arrest during a press conference Wednesday.
All I did was step outside as a Somali-American, and I just got chased by a masked person. The agent then, at one point, he didn't identify himself. He didn't say, ICE, stop. Like, I felt like I was getting assaulted. I was getting kidnapped, and that's exactly where it was. And the way they were treating me, it was inhumane. They dragged me across the road. They slammed me to the ground, choked me. That was uncalled for.
Federal immigration agents have arrested more than 400 people across Minnesota since Trump last week called Somali immigrants garbage in a racist tirade. On Capitol Hill, Democratic lawmakers repeatedly called on Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem to resign as they confronted her on Trump's immigration crackdown during a heated House Homeland Security Committee hearing Thursday. Noem stood defiant, defending Trump's nationwide raids, mass deportations, and the use of force by federal agents. Her opening statement was briefly interrupted by protesters, one of whom chanted, quote, "Get ICE off our streets, stop terrorizing our communities," unquote. Democratic lawmakers accuse Noem of lying and corruption. Meanwhile, Congressmember Delia Ramirez of Chicago, the daughter of Guatemalan immigrants, announced she's taking the first steps to impeach Noem. This is a portion of Ramirez's remarks to Noem.
You lied on the record. And you lied to members of this committee. You violated court orders by not turning around deportation flights bound for El Salvador, where we know that hundreds of people under your leadership have reported that they were raped, they were beaten, and they nearly died. And your agents used chemical weapons in Chicago despite court orders from District Court Judge Ellis forbidding their use.
We'll be joined by Congressmember Delia Ramirez later in the broadcast. The Justice Department's once again failed to bring an indictment against New York Attorney General Letitia James on charges she lied on a mortgage application. It's yet another blow to President Trump's campaign of retribution against his political enemies. On Thursday, a federal grand jury in Alexandria, Virginia, refused to indict James after a separate grand jury in Norfolk last week also rejected an indictment sought by the Justice Department. The House of Representatives voted Thursday to reverse President Trump's executive orders stripping a million unionized federal workers at 40 federal agencies of their collective bargaining rights. 20 Republicans joined Democrats to send the legislation to the Senate over the objections of House Republican leaders who opposed the bill. Randy Irwin, president of the National Federation of Federal Employees, wrote, quote, "The president cannot unilaterally strip working people of their constitutional freedom of association in bipartisan fashion. Congress is asserted their authority to hold the president accountable for the biggest attack on workers that this country has ever seen," unquote. The Walt Disney Company announced Thursday it'll invest $1 billion in OpenAI after agreeing to allow users of the Sora Video Generation app to make videos with hundreds of copyrighted Disney characters. It's a first-of-its-kind move by a major studio coming 2 years after Hollywood screenwriters and actors went on strike to protect their livelihoods from generative AI. Responding to Disney's deal, the Writers Guild of America wrote, quote, "Companies, including OpenAI, have stolen vast libraries of works owned by the studios and created by WGA members and Hollywood labor to train their artificial intelligence systems. We've repeatedly called for the studios to take legal action to defend the valuable intellectual property we helped to create," unquote. And President Trump signed an executive order Thursday establishing a single national standard on artificial intelligence, blocking states from enacting their own AI regulations. The order directs the Justice Department set up an AI litigation task force, which would bring lawsuits against any state that passes new AI laws. It also directs the Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick, to look into withholding funding for rural broadband internet from states seeking to regulate AI. This comes after a New York Times investigation found Lutnick and his sons run a network of companies and industries ranging from cryptocurrencies to AI data centers, and that Lutnick has promoted policies supporting the construction of data centers while serving in government. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
We begin today's show looking at how Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is upending immunization policies in the United States. CNN's reporting the Food and Drug Administration is considering putting a black box warning on COVID-19 vaccines, a warning reserved only for drugs that can cause death. CNN reports the plan has shocked medical experts. This comes a week after Kennedy's hand-picked advisors on a federal vaccine panel voted against universal hepatitis B shots for newborns, recommending the vaccine only for infants born to people who test positive for the virus. The announcement reverses 35 years of CDC guidance that all newborns receive the hepatitis B vaccine within 24 hours of birth. Officials at the American Academy of Pediatrics said the move could be, quote, devastating to children's health and public health, unquote. On Thursday, Michigan Democratic Congresswoman Haley Stevens filed articles of impeachment against Kennedy, saying his actions have endangered public health and gutted life-saving medical research. We're joined right now by a former top vaccine expert at the CDC who resigned in June. Dr. Fiona Havers is joining us from Atlanta, Georgia, where she's now an adjunct professor at adjunct associate professor at Emory School of Medicine. Welcome back to Democracy Now! Thank you so much for being with us. Dr. Havers, if you can start off by talking about hepatitis. Talk about what's at stake and what exactly RFK Jr. has done.
Sure. For the last 30 years, the U.S. has recommended that every newborn be vaccinated against hepatitis at birth. And this is because infants can acquire hepatitis if their mother is infected with hepatitis B at birth or by caregivers during their infancy or childhood. If you're infected with hepatitis B as a child or an infant, you have more than a 90% chance of developing a lifelong incurable infection that can lead to liver failure, cirrhosis, or liver cancer, and potentially death. And since the early 90s, every infant has been recommended to receive this at birth. And this is targeted at mothers who are, infants that were born to mothers who are infected. But in the United States, when they only recommended that infants who were born to mothers who were known to have infection were vaccinated, there were many infants that were missed. Also, infants can be infected by caregivers later on. So what they voted last week was to remove that recommendation, a recommendation that's been responsible for essentially eliminating hepatitis B in children in the United States. And this was the first major policy change that this Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices the first major change is likely to have major public health implications for U.S. children since RFK Jr. fired the entire committee in June and replaced it with a number of people who have anti-vaccine stances.
And Dr. Havers, these are all the CDC doesn't mandate vaccination. It only has recommendations. Can you talk about the misinformation that's often spread by vaccine skeptics who claim there's a federal vaccine mandate for children?
Yeah, so these are all just recommendations, and it's supposed to be an evidence-based, science-based recommendation. And historically, there was a very sort of rigid, sort of strict framework where it was the evidence was very carefully reviewed, risks and benefits were weighed, and then a recommendation was made. But for all of these vaccines, parents will have conversations with their provider. They can talk about the risks and the benefits, and informed consent is given. This is not, there is no sense in which any of the recommendations coming from this advisory body or from the CDC are mandates. And so this change is just basically casting doubt on what was on the universal hepatitis B vaccine recommendation, casting doubts on its safety, on how well it works and how important it is. And I think that what we're going to see is parents are going to be confused. We're going to see probably fewer babies being vaccinated at birth, and we're going to see potentially tragic outcomes, which we may not know about for, you know, a decade or two, because often babies who have hepatitis B are asymptomatic for years until they show up with advanced liver failure when they're, you know, teenagers or in their 20s or later in life. So I think that this has potential for real tragic implications. But again, this administration keeps talking about vaccine mandates and informed consent, but parents always have a choice about whether or not to vaccinate their child. And we know that parents want to do the right thing, but this administration is causing a lot of confusion and is using basically the CDC to spread misinformation now about vaccines.
Could you talk also about the measles outbreak? The CDC is acknowledging as many as 1,800 cases of measles across the United States just this year, an illness that supposedly had been eliminated.
Yeah, no, measles has been raging in the United States for the last 12 months. We have multiple outbreaks going on in several states. And, we've had more cases this year than, you know, in a very long time. Measles was officially eliminated in the United States in the early 2000s. But if these outbreaks are not under control by the end of January, the United States will officially lose its measles elimination status per the WHO. And this is a huge embarrassment. It's an embarrassment for this administration that they're unable to control a disease that we've had an effective vaccine for decades that was essentially eliminated. But this is a direct result of the decades of misinformation that RFK Jr. and the anti-vaccine movement have been spreading about the safety and efficacy of vaccines. In addition, I think CDC and other public health agencies have been hamstrung by this administration. I think the resources haven't been mobilized to address the measles outbreaks. Coming out with very strong messaging about vaccines being the most effective way of preventing measles from spreading and the importance of vaccines. I think, you know, basically this administration has failed to respond appropriately to this measles outbreak, all of these measles outbreaks, and have failed to get them under control.
And can you respond to this latest news today that the FDA is weighing a black box warning on COVID vaccines, which is reserved for, vaccines that or any drug that causes death? What exactly does this mean? I mean, you have studies showing that the COVID vaccine saved what? Something like 20 million deaths around the world. Has this alarmed you today?
I mean, it's very alarming. I think this administration, particularly RFK Jr., has come out very hard against COVID vaccines since they were first rolled out during the pandemic. They have saved millions of lives, but this administration is solely focused on possible safety concerns. I think they also have said that they have linked COVID vaccines to pediatric deaths. And we do know that in serious adverse events can occur with vaccines, one in a million vaccines. I don't know what the actual rates are, but serious adverse events can occur with vaccines. But this administration has not shown any data about how they have, what information they use to show that COVID-19 vaccines have been linked to any deaths. They haven't been transparent about it. They haven't given any information about how they came to the conclusion that COVID vaccines do cause deaths. And with this lack of transparency and only focusing on the risks of vaccines and not talking about the fact that, tens of millions of children received these vaccines safely, millions of deaths were prevented as well as, millions of hospitalizations and serious adverse events were prevented. There was a report that did just come out from CDC yesterday showing that vaccines, the COVID-19 vaccines, were 76% effective in preventing urgent care and emergency department visits in young children. And that was a great report to see. But, that was data showing that these vaccines are effective in preventing severe illness, which still occurs from COVID. I'm very concerned that this is coming out right as we're going into respiratory virus season, because I think, tens of thousands of Americans die from diseases like COVID and influenza every year, and further undermining confidence in these vaccines, I think could lead to an increase in vaccine preventable deaths this year.
Dr. Fiona Havers, talk about your decision in June to quit, to leave the CDC, and then the continuous reports we're hearing about the chaos within the overall agency under RFK Jr.
Yeah, so I had worked at CDC for 13 years, always on vaccine preventable diseases. I had been scheduled to present COVID hospitalization data to this advisory committee. But when he fired the advisory committee, I knew that he was basically doing a hostile takeover of the CDC vaccine policy process by firing this committee that makes the vaccine policy recommendations for the United States. And I basically couldn't, as a physician, as a scientist, present to this committee and legitimize them, because they are not a legitimate committee. They are not using evidence and they're not using science. And I think that essentially, RFK Jr. is using his position as HHS secretary to now is like using CDC as a megaphone to promote his anti-vaccine views. And I didn't feel like I could be part of that. And I think, CDC, my colleagues that are still there doing the work that they can and getting good information out when they can and pushing back when they can, I think I admire them, but I think that the agency has essentially, the leadership has been essentially removed or pushed out. Thousands of experts have either quit or been fired. And RFK Jr. has basically taken over CDC and is using it to advance anti-science views. And public health across America has been weakened in all respects, not just when we're talking about infectious diseases or vaccine preventable diseases.
Dr. Fiona Havers, we want to thank you for being with us, adjunct associate professor at Emory School of Medicine, former CDC official with an expertise in infectious diseases and vaccines. She resigned from the agency in June. Coming up, watch tracked and targeted life in Gaza under Israel's all-encompassing surveillance regime. Back in 20 seconds. Held High, performed by the New York City Palestinian Youth Choir here in the city. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. We turn now to Gaza. Al Jazeera reports at least 12 Palestinians have died over the last day as a major winter storm devastates the besieged strip. There has been massive flooding across Gaza, where most of the population is living in shelters, makeshift tents, what remained of homes and buildings damaged by Israel's relentless war. The storm victims include three children who died from hypothermia. We're joined now by the award-winning Palestinian reporter who left Gaza last year, Mohammed Hawish. He's written a new piece for New York Magazine. It's headlined, Watch, Tracked, and Targeted, Life in Gaza Under Israel's All-Encompassing Surveillance Regime. Hawish writes, quote, Life in Gaza for the past 2 years has been a process of losing everything visible, our families, homes, streets. It also means losing what cannot be seen, the private space of the mind, the intimacy between people, and the ability to speak without fear of being monitored by a machine. Hawisha is a fellow at Tait Media Center. The new piece was produced in partnership with the Palestine Reporting Lab. Hawisha is the recipient of several journalism awards, including an Izzy Award, the James Aronson Award for Social Justice Journalism, and the Neil Conan Prize for Excellence in Journalism. Mohammed, welcome to Democracy Now! This is a deeply moving, deep dive into the physical and psychological harm Palestinians are experiencing, living under this unprecedented level